Yes, indeed, you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM. It's a song by SWAT. That's a SWAT theme. And on the phone with me right now, I have Ron Anisich from Bad Cop No Donut, which you can hear here every Thursday at 1 p.m. on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM, freakradio.org. Now, there's been some controversy here about your show again.
just when you least expect it. Well, last Thursday morning at about 3:30 in the morning. Now, here's what happens at CKLN. I pre-produce Bad Cop No Donut on Wednesday night, and I have this overnight show.
Right.
That starts at 2 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
It's not just Bad Cop No Donut, but there's a bunch of other, it's pretty much whatever I'm interested in that week. But it always starts off with Bad Cop No Donut.
It's called The Bitter End, right?
Is that... it is called The Bitter End. That is correct.
Okay.
What happens with the production schedule for Bad Cop No Donut is that it also goes on again at 6 in the morning on the morning news show. And all this happens at the same time that it's being uploaded to the internet for you guys. But what happened was this week's show was when I told my friends about the show this week, I told them, you know what, you should listen to this week's show because it's got, you won't be able to look at the police the same way again. For the next week, every time you see a cop, all you're going to be able to think about is my show. And the reason
That's
is
true.
This, there was a really powerful segment on the show where I was able to obtain through a newspaper in Tennessee a recording of five police officers torturing this man named Lester Eugene Seiler. The torture took place in July 2004, and the tape was made by his wife, who had left a cassette recorder in the room.
Wow.
Before she was forced to leave, to make a long story short, she caught the first 40 minutes or so of the torture on a cassette tape, and it was used as evidence at the trial. It's it's bona fide, it's real. It was submitted as evidence in a trial. It is really five cops torturing a man.
Tennessee.
Now,
cops.
I didn't want to just put that on the radio. I had some concerns about that. I listened to the whole 40 minutes, and I found it to be extremely emotionally disturbing. I don't know what you're going to think of this, but I was brought to tears several times just listening to it.
Yeah.
And I was between that and the four-letter words. I was, you know what? I can't put this on the radio like this. Like the FCC, first of all, would for you guys down there,
right?
Wouldn't have a good time with that one.
Right.
So what I did is I heavily edited the segment, and it was preceded by a 20-minute interview with the lead reporter from the Knoxville Sentinel, who was the court reporter who covered the story for the local paper down there. Now, the editing took the recording from 40 minutes down to about 10 minutes or so, I think. And it had all of the four-letter words beeped out, which was literally every 5 seconds. Now I realize this took a lot of the emotional impact out of the material, but I felt really strongly that it needed to be broadcast in a way where people could understand exactly what the police did to this guy. Because, me saying on the radio show, like I do every week, the police beat up this guy, that doesn't have the impact of listening to the police beat this guy up. I mean, it's two entirely different things. One is clearly a lot more powerful than the other. Right? So I feel pretty strongly about playing the material. It's a horrible case. It's done. The cops are all in jail. The five police who were involved in the torture are all in jail. So I thought at least it had a little happy ending, right?
Right.
So, okay. Now that I've given you the background, I can tell you that when the show aired on CKLN at 2 in the morning for the first time, the police in Toronto say that a 911 caller was listening to the radio and believed that somebody at CKLN was the victim of an attack. I guess the implication would be that I was being attacked. I was the only one who was supposed to be at the radio station at the time.
But you weren't.
Which, luckily, I wasn't. Yeah, I was feeling pretty sick, actually. And a friend who was there at the radio station with me was just on her way home. And she's like, yeah, you're not feeling good. I'm going right by your house. If you want a ride, I'm happy to give you a lift. And I said yes. And at this moment, I'm pretty glad I did. If you believe what the police say, somebody heard my show and believed I was being tortured, and then they sent down some kind of an armed response to deal with it. And, you know, I should say, Bob, that I heard one of the rumors that I heard was that it was a SWAT team. It would definitely, we don't, technically that's not actually the word we use for it up here. We have it, I think they call it an emergency response unit.
Right.
But it's the same thing. It's just, a different acronym.
Jackbooted thugs with rifles and automatic weapons.
Yeah, basically it's guys with guns coming into the radio station at after 3 a.m. at a time when I'm supposed to be there by myself. During what I consider to be the most damning indictment of police abuse that I have ever broadcast on the radio. And you see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, they broke in, basically.
Well, they didn't break in. This is the thing. First of all, I think I would like to back up a tiny little bit and just examine what the police are saying, what the police are telling us happened.
Okay.
In order to believe that somebody mistook what was played on the radio for an attack at somebody on somebody at CKLN, that person would have had to have, at the very least, been not very bright, because the four-letter words were all beeped out. In an actual live attack, my five attackers would probably not have been so kind as to hit the mute mic on the button every time they said the F word.
Yeah.
All of the people on the recording had thick Tennessee accents. There was an enormous disclaimer before the material was played. At the end, I come on and reassure everybody that the police involved are all in jail. There's a little preview of the next show, an Alice Cooper song. All of which are unlike anything you would hear if there was a live beating going on at the radio station.
Well, during
an actual live beating, I wouldn't have just got up at the end and went, "Oh, and next week, tune in for you know." it's inconceivable.
Well, so, let's take a listen to that. I cut it out of the last show, and we'll take a little bit of listen, just not the whole thing, because I believe it's 10 to 12 minutes.
It's a little long, but I'm sure a short excerpt from it will prove the point. Now, just as you're listening to this, as an audience member, you should try to put yourself in the position of a person listening to it on the radio in the middle of the night in a big city, and see if there's any way that you would that this recording could make you believe that there was an incident occurring at CKLN that needed to be addressed with a 911 phone call. I'll leave it to your listeners to judge that for themselves.
All right, let's check it out. This last week's Bad Cop, No Donut.
We heard Jamie Satterfield describe what happened in Lester Seiler's home on that night in July 2004. Next, we will listen to some of the recording of that incident. This material is extremely emotionally distressing, so if you have children close by or are not willing to listen to a man be tortured, then right now would be a good time to turn your radio off or skip to the next podcast on your playlist. Once again, please use discretion beginning immediately. For the next 10 minutes or so, we will listen to excerpts from a torture session that allegedly lasted for 2 hours.
Hey, hang on, you're talking way too much. Let me tell you something. We're going to know everybody's supplying you. We're going to know everything about your business today. And you're going to take us and where you've got your money. We're going to take every dime you have today. And if we don't walk out here with every piece of dope you got and every dime you've got, your f***ing ass is not going to make it to the jail. And if you think we're joking, you're not. Because let me tell you something. There's nobody knows we're f***ing here. We're doing this on our own. And you're going to sign a consent to search form. And you're going to give us permission to be here. And you're going to do it our way because we're tired of f***ing with your ass. You're not listening. You hear what I told you? I told you not to be talking, didn't I tell you not to be talking? That's just the f***ing beginning. This motherfucker right here, he loves seeing blood. He loves it. He loves f***ing seeing blood. You're talking too much. You're talking too much. Listen to what I'm telling you. He loves f***ing seeing blood. He'll beat your ass and lick it off of you. And if you think we're here playing, you're wrong. I want you to start talking right now about nothing else but other than where your dope's hit at, where your money's at, and then we'll talk about everything else. Start telling me.
I'm going to make you sign that damn form.
Good.
If he don't sign it, I'm going to slap his fucking fingers.
What hand, are you right-handed?
You put cap him in front. We'll be nice to him, but that's as far as it's going.
You just need to sign.
You've been informed that we're here to search your damn premises, and you're going west. That's what it says.
Are you
going to
sign? Get up. I said,
All right, once again, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Ron, you still there?
Yeah.
So that's a small excerpt of the show. And
you know what? And I when I was listening to that, I was just thinking, you know, I found that disturbing just on its own, you know?
Definitely.
I can see how somebody would find it emotionally distressing. I clearly warn people that that's the case, you know? I've broadcast a lot of stuff that I think is upsetting on the show, but I've never put a warning or a disclaimer on the show before because my opinion is that those are things that are often kind of cheap publicity devices.
Right.
And, you know, people write to me and say, oh, shouldn't you put an adult content warning on your podcast or whatever? And I don't think so.
Why? Because...
It's not sexually explicit. I mean, I use the proper acceptable words to describe things in terms of accuracy, and you know, I have to. I feel strongly that the show should aspire to meet certain journalistic standards.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use words like blowjob or stuff on the radio. I would say oral sex, which
happens to happen a lot with police officers and
it happens a lot in life in general.
Sex with minors and child abuse, abusing their own children, not reported.
It's unpleasant stuff. But, I mean, you know, to get back to this, you know, I can see maybe a situation where an elderly person was home by themselves late at night, and heard something like that on the radio and maybe called 911, or perhaps a recent immigrant to the country whose comprehension of English, maybe English is not their first language and they didn't quite understand what was going on. I can see a number of scenarios under which somebody might actually call 911.
Right.
What I don't understand is what happened after that. So, assuming that I believe that you can ignore the, you know, I don't know, you heard those accents. Those are the accents that they use in that part of Tennessee are very, very distinct as far as I can tell. Everybody in the tape used them. The woman I interviewed, the journalist from the Knoxville Sentinel, had the same accent.
Didn't sound like you either. You have a very distinct voice.
Doesn't sound like anyone in Canada, Bob.
No, it doesn't.
No one up here talks like that. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
No one up here talks like that. I mean, maybe there's some people from Tennessee up here that I haven't met, and maybe they talk like that. But
so the cops got this 911 call.
Yeah, they get their 911 call, and I guess, you know, like assuming that we believe that a member of the public may have made the mistake that there was an attack going on, what I don't understand is how the police, after receiving such a call, don't just turn on their radio and find out that it's not true.
Process
like
of elimination.
This would have taken seconds to ascertain.
Right, definitely.
Without calling a person. Simply turning the radio on would have told them that the call that they received was, in fact, an inaccurate one. Now, failing that, say they didn't turn on the radio. Another thing they could have done was called the, you know, because we're on a university campus, like a lot of campuses down there in the States, we have our what is effectively our own security force on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Our security force monitors the entire building that CKLN is housed in, with and in fact the entire campus, with an elaborate series of closed circuit television cameras that rivals what you would find in downtown London, England. It's extremely thorough. There is no part of the campus that is not monitored by video surveillance.
Right.
Now, I should tell you, there are no actual we have our own internal security cameras inside CKLN, but that's another story that I'll tell you about in a little while. But just for the purpose of what we're saying right now, the police could have easily made a quick phone call to the security desk and ascertained, also within seconds, that the only people in the building were the cleaning staff, who were, in fact, going about their cleaning business in the usual method, which would probably have not been the case had there been a torture going on the second floor. It's only a three-story building. It's not a massive, you know, 20-story building. It's the student campus center.
This is at Ryerson College, right?
It's Ryerson University.
University, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so now I can start telling you from my perspective.
Okay.
Well, I guess what actually happened, you know, this is the killer thing. Nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows what actually happened. We have no, we've had no indication from Ryerson Security or the police about how many police officers showed up, how many police officers were in CKLN. We assume that they were in CKLN because when they managed to get our program director on the phone, They did question him about why there was no one at CKLN, where the broadcast was originating from, who was supposed to be there.
I'm sure they knew that.
I don't know. You know, I'm not going to assume they knew that. I would just note that my work has not gone unnoticed by the Toronto police.
Exactly.
In the past. You know, they have tried to shut me down before, very publicly and openly.
Chief Fantino, or ex-Chief Fantino.
Yeah. Now, I haven't had any problems since then, but I will say that I have experienced a great deal of what I would call, from the police, harassment by proximity.
Right. Well, what information were you given? I mean, did CKLN
help you out? I went about, after this happened, I'm going to assume they sent an emergency response team. I know that the normal drill when somebody calls 911 is they send what's called a tiered response, which is you don't just get the cops. You also get the fire department, and you also get EMS. You also get an ambulance. For a hostage-taking situation, a tiered response would be automatic. So I've got to assume that in addition to the police, if the police version of events is true, then I'd like to know, you know, where the fire department was and where my ambulance was, you know.
Right.
We don't have any information that that any of that even happened. You know where I'm going with this, Bob, is that, you know, I don't believe, I mean, you heard the recording yourself. I have a hard time believing anyone would make that 911 call that the police say happened.
Right, right.
And I have a difficult time believing that, having received that 911 call, they thought the best thing to do was send send armed police officers down to CKLN. And I was very conscious going into it that that was a pretty powerful show that people in law enforcement could easily have a big problem with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real difficult for me to say to not think that this was more about the content of the show than about a supposed 911 call. I'll tell you, Bob, I'm going to make an effort to get records. I'm going to
have you called the police department or try to talk to any officials?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get a copy of the 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get because at least if I get that, then I know what happened.
Right. Right.
And then it'll tell us something else about it, too.
Uh-huh.
If there is a 911 call, it better be from somebody really frail-sounding.
At 3 in the morning.
You know?
At 3 in the morning. Give me a break.
Somebody really stupid, because if it's some white guy saying, I think somebody's getting beat up at CKLN, then that's it's going to be hard for that person to argue that they did not have any malicious intent.
Right. I agree.
Given the circumstances. But, I mean, you know, a lot of what I'm telling you here, I realize, is speculation. And as a journalist, it's not something I'm fond of doing.
Now, have you heard anything from CKLN?
This is what really bothers me. And
uh-huh.
I regret to have to say this, but, you know, frankly, I've been really disappointed by CKLN's response to this. CKLN, the management of CKLN, knew about this at the time it was happening. Now, I tried to put myself in CKLN management's position, where I'm receiving a phone call about a controversial radio program in the middle of the night that the police are evidently attending, and that I'm aware they have a history of not only trying to have the show banned, but, you know, I've been questioned out by the police out in front of CKLN in the middle of the night. And there have been other incidents like that that make me, you know, it didn't bother me. None of that stuff bothered me, you know, because it could be just business as usual for the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
People get stopped and questioned all the time. It happens to me all the time. It happens to everyone I know. Just happens. It's a little unusual for some, and the circumstances of this particular questioning I'm talking about right now were a little unusual and did give me pause to, not pause for alarm, but it bothered me enough that I actually wrote a long letter to CKLN management at the time without asking them to do anything. I just wanted there to be a record that I had noticed the police driving by a lot during the show, and that when I went out of the show during the time I was supposed to be there working, I was immediately questioned by the police.
Hmm. Are these undercover or regular?
No, a marked car. This is the situation. I was walking a friend out to her bike at 5 in the morning. Incidentally, the same friend who drove me home from the radio station this week.
good friend.
a fellow volunteer at CKLN who often works late at night.
Mm-hmm.
At the radio station. So a female going out by herself to bike home in the middle of the night, you want to walk her out. And we're in the middle of a big downtown of a big city. So I go out, and we're not 10 feet from the front door, Bob, and the cop pulls around the corner and starts. First, his line of questioning is ensuring she's safe. So I didn't say a word. She's a good talker. And
mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, yeah, everything's fine. No, this guy's not bothering me. He's walking me out to my bike. He's being a perfect gentleman. And then he moves on to me, and then he starts questioning me like I'm doing something wrong. And I eventually get out of him that he tells me I match the description of someone they're looking for, which I have to admit I've heard before.
Yeah.
And oddly, I can see two guys, you know, within eyesight of me that are wearing a black hoodie, just like me, wearing black pants, just like me, you know, and they didn't talk to those guys.
Yeah.
So I was a little suspicious. I wasn't actually that alarmed about it. It was my friend's response. She was pretty freaked out about it, and that's the reason I decided to write to the management at CKLN, because I wanted there to be some kind of documentation in the event that something more serious might happen down the road. I'm not what you'd call a paranoid guy.
Right.
At all. I go about my daily life now just the same as I always have, because I think if I alter my daily activities as a result of some perceived threat from the police, then they're winning. And that's not going to happen. that's not how it's going to happen with me.
Well,
I'm not going to be pushed around.
You could also put it
however,
the other way.
Well, right now I'm not feeling very safe. I got to tell you that.
Right. I agree. So what happened with CKLN? Have they
CKLN. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You see, it breaks my heart to have to talk about CKLN in a light that's anything less than very flattering.
Mm-hmm.
But CKLN waited until yesterday at 4 p.m. to notify me that this happened. Just that it happened. Now, this happened last Thursday at 3:30 a.m. They had all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Nobody even tells me this has happened until yesterday at 4 p.m., Monday at 4 p.m. That's
mm-hmm.
5 days too late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at CKLM. In my shoes, I would have called me at 3:30 in the morning and said, "Hey, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, what did you play? Blah blah blah. Right.
I want answers. I want them now, and I also want to know that you're safe.
Because
mm-hmm. the cops have been in there, and you're not there. Nobody knows where you are. no one had been in touch with me.
Right.
So they could have arrested me, and they wouldn't have known. Didn't even call and check. Not even an email. Nothing.
Huh.
So the way I find out about this is, as I say, I was getting bizarre emails from some of the other volunteers, because although they hadn't told me, evidently it was pretty openly discussed around the office for quite a few days. And my friends caught wind of it. They were there working on their shows. And some of them kind of... So I found out about it in these little pieces that didn't make any sense to me. Stuff like I was describing before. Hey, I heard the cops really didn't like your show this week. And
then you got emails.
A phone message on Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
that said something about a SWAT team. And I just, okay, this is nuts. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I get somebody from CKLN management on the phone that assures me that although this person says they're not the person who's actually supposed to be dealing with it,
right.
that the other person should be in touch with me anytime. So I popped off an email to make it all formal-like, saying, "Hi, guys, I've been hearing rumors that the police came to CKLN during my show last week. I have uh-huh. two questions. One, what happened? Two, why didn't anyone tell me?"
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I'm not going to go into their answers.
Okay, that's fine.
They're pretty insulting.
Mm.
There's no way that they can justify waiting 5 days.
Right.
To tell me about this. And furthermore, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I don't have a lot keeping me safe right now. I feel I did a radio interview last week with Radioactive San Diego, a guy named Jake, and I was telling he asked me if I thought I was getting any special attention from the cops. I said no. And that I felt perfectly safe doing my show. And I also said that ever since that Fantino thing, it's kind of had an effect of keeping me safe, right? Because
right.
anything, they come after me now. It was on the front page of the paper. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Anything happens to me, everybody knows why. Or at least people's suspicions would be fairly aroused.
It just seems like that, you know, they came to where you work, you know, and
they came to where I work,
where you
in the middle of an
show.
Extremely controversial broadcast that I fully expected them to hate, like in a way that the events don't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm. Even though these cops are in jail for, you know, attacking and torturing a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and have been prosecuted, correct?
Yeah. And this is one of the CKLN staff members called this irony. Like, no, that's not really irony.
Well, the way I look at
it, irony is when 12 hours later I'm telling a guy in California how safe I feel. 12 hours after the police have raided CKLN during my show and I don't even know about it. That's irony.
It also, to my mind, it brings up that you're doing the right thing. I mean, you know, maybe you're the squeaky wheel right now, but I mean, you're out there doing what you need to do. You're putting media out there. Of course, it's a lot of it's in the mainstream media, but you're compiling it in a way that no one has ever done before.
I'm trying to. I think that's one thing the media can do. I think that's something that, you know, we learn as Michael Moore gets more and more popular, for example. He's kind of given us a way of, you know, restructuring the information we already have at our disposal in a way that'll
mm-hmm.
make us reach a different conclusion. I'm not saying I'm trying to be like Michael Moore, but I'm quite happy to admit that I'm a propagandist on some level.
Yes.
And probably a lot more willing than he would be.
Yeah.
And I don't mind borrowing a tactic or two from him.
Sometimes I wonder that's why we got raided, you know, a couple years ago. You know, that we're doing the right thing, so we're on the right track, and, you know, that's where we're looking right now. They haven't fired you or told you you can't come in next week?
Oh, no, nothing like that's going to happen. That would actually mean that CKLN management would have to actually do something. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really worried that that's going to be happening at any time in the future, because they're pretty dysfunctional right now. I'm sorry to tell you.
Well, how's the show going otherwise? I mean,
I'm scared. You know what? I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
This has put me over the edge of, you know, this has just, for me, made it cross the line where, like, oh, you know, because what I wonder, Bob, is what would have happened had I not been sick?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what would have happened if I'd been there?
Mm-hmm.
I just simply cannot envision a scenario where I don't at least walk out of there in handcuffs.
Or even just the knowledge that here they are in the studio with me right now where they shouldn't be, but, you know, their excuse is this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I would have felt violated even had I escaped unscathed somehow. But we're in Toronto. I don't believe that's going to happen. All of the information I have about the police here in Toronto is that they're on par with the worst police forces North America's ever seen.
Right.
I don't trust them.
It sounds like
I don't trust them. That's for sure.
That's what they're trying to do, is scare you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I think. But I don't have any actual solid evidence for this.
But they didn't catch you in there, though. So, you know, that's like a feather in your cap. You were there, and you are not there. Excuse me, you were not there, and so they were probably pissed. Like, God, we didn't get them that time. And now it's like they had to try to hush this down. You keep it quiet, because I went and searched the Toronto Police website and I couldn't find any news releases on the issue.
Oh, no, you won't find. At the very worst, they look, you know, if their story's true, they look stupid and incompetent, because they showed up for what was quite obviously, in my opinion, not an attack.
Yeah.
And then they rather, you know, and we're also to believe that, believing that there was somebody being attacked inside, that they did not break down the doors to get in. They waited for security to open a series of locked doors for them.
Right.
You know, if there was an actual...
That's interesting.
You've seen how the police operate.
Yeah.
They don't stand there and wait for somebody with a key when something's going down. They bust in.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Well, if they thought there was a torture going on out inside, why didn't they do that?
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they call you in the studio?
It's difficult to believe. It's full of holes like this, and without knowing the truth, and I find that, you know, I'm a journalist, I find it really frustrating to not have all the facts at my disposal.
Well, by the time they actually, you said it was like 3:30-ish, what, was the show over and something else was going on? Or?
According to my program director, it was on a different interview. By the time the police arrived at 3:30, it was a totally different part of the show. It was a fairly innocuous interview that did deal with police abuse, but it was a rebroadcast of an interview that I aired a couple weeks earlier on Bad Cop No Donut that had... that didn't get aired on CKLN for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It got cut off when it there were. It's a little complicated. But.
Well, you have a website.
I wanted to make sure my listeners heard it.
Yes.
I thought it was. So by the time the police arrived, yeah, there was nothing going on. They must have felt. They either felt stupid that they didn't get me, or stupid that they showed up for nothing, for something that was obviously nothing.
Right.
The first thing that the CKLN staff did was they did review the show.
Mm-hmm.
And just their immediate concern is that I may have violated some kind of CRTC regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they have to satisfy themselves. They can't just trust me in a situation like that. They would have to actually listen to it. I mean, you know, by now they should be able to trust me, but...
Have you gotten any feedback from the show at all being played on other radio stations? I mean, obviously, nobody broke down the door here.
The feedback's been very positive, generally, but you mean regarding this specific program?
Yeah, like other stations weren't, you know, didn't have the
other stations were not busted. Nobody assumed anyone was being attacked at any of the other radio stations.
Right. How many radio stations is...
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I lost count a long time ago.
Yeah.
I stopped asking people to tell me a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
If people want me to record IDs or promo stuff for them, I'm happy to do it. But producing this show is extremely time-consuming, and I spend a lot of time on it, and I don't have time to do things like promote the show.
I agree.
Some of the more extraneous tasks involved with the show, and you know, I could spend a little more time cleaning up my website and stuff like that.
Which is at badcopnodonut.fm, is that right?
Yeah, that's changed since that's a kind of a new thing, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've noticed that you got a ton of other interviews as well people can download and listen to.
Yeah,
Not just that has been on the show, but other stuff that you've worked on as well, being a journalist.
Yeah, I actually do have a lot of interests outside of police abuse, and that's one of the it's not really a downside, I guess, but it's one of the downsides of doing the show is I don't really have time to do a lot of the other work that I think is also important. It kind of took over on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't plan for it to be this way. It just sort of happened, and I'm happy that things are working out this way. You know, they teach us in journalism school that our work should be as focused as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a pretty narrow focus happening.
Yeah.
So
it's a great show. We get, you know, positive calls all the time. Occasionally we get a few people one guy, that all I can think of, that didn't like it. I think I passed that email along to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get emails from people that are, this is the other thing that I have, that makes it a little hard to believe that the police came running to save my ass. That I from time to time, will get emails from people pretending to be Toronto police that have suggested that were I ever to need help, that I certainly should not call them because they would not come.
well,
now,
that's
I don't
they
know
came.
For the fact that those actually were from police officers, but, you know.
Yeah. They disprove that they came, right, to save you. Supposedly.
Well, either that or they, or not.
Or not.
I don't know.
It's weird.
I'll tell you something, Bob. Until I hear the recording of the 911 tape, I do not believe that there was a 911 call.
Is there any kind of police review or complaint procedure that you can file?
I've been advised to file a formal complaint. Here's my problem. At this point, CKLN does not wish to pursue this.
Mm.
They want me to. They'll be very unhappy that I'm talking to you about this.
Right.
And I can understand the reason why. It's valid. They're highly overworked and
mm-hmm.
massively underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they frankly, I have them deal with concerns more frequently than I'd like to. Now. I mean, I qualify that by saying it's their job. You know, if they don't like it, maybe they should look into some other options or something.
Right.
It's not my intent to make life difficult for the core staff, but I'm hardly going to sit by silently when something like this happens, which is what they want me to do. Their position is that we cannot prove it is anything other than what the police say it is.
Right.
And they're right. My approach to this is going to be, I'm going to try to find out as much independently as I can. I'm going to try to get a copy of the 911 call. I'm going to try to get a report from school security. But I really feel these are things that should have been done already
by
people in positions of responsibility at CKLM. I think it's a little... I'm going to have problems calling the police myself and asking for this stuff. I'll probably come up with a way to do it through a third party.
Yeah.
Perhaps I can get one of my comrades at CKLN to make the request on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. I'm not sure I'll get the results
I'm looking attorney.
For if I put my name on it.
We could secure an attorney somewhere, or what have
you. Well, here's the thing about Canada, Bob.
Uh-huh.
you know, there's no legal aid here.
Oh.
There is legal aid, but you're only eligible for legal aid under very specific circumstances. You have to have been charged with a crime
Right.
That you can serve jail time for.
Hmm.
Now, if and that doesn't mean every if you were to get arrested for something that you might go to jail for,
mm-hmm.
and you might not, you won't get legal aid.
Right.
Also, you know about public defenders, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It might surprise you to learn we don't even have those here.
Hmm.
We don't have public defenders in Canada.
Hmm.
Basically, law in Canada is entirely the domain of the rich.
Hmm.
Poor, middle class, working people do not, who justifiably would get legal aid in your country easily, or be able to find a lawyer. You need money here. Basically, there's no way to hire a lawyer here without having a lot of money. It's actually, you know how you get lawyers who will do work on a case kind of on spec? Like if you're filing a lawsuit, they'll maybe take the case if they think they can win it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way you pay them is with a percentage of what you win.
Right.
That's against the law in Canada.
Wow. Wow.
You have to pay the lawyer up front.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a pretty sweet deal if you're a lawyer.
I guess so.
But if you're a poor person in Canada who needs legal assistance, or even a working class person who needs legal assistance, you don't get it. It doesn't exist. So well, the chances that I'm going to be able to hire a lawyer to look into this are, I spend all the time I can working at a job that I'm not very fond of, so I can do this show. I'm not complaining about it.
Right.
It's life, you know?
Well, I'm talking
But I can't... hiring a lawyer is not something that is feasible, and I really wish it was, because I would... what I would like to do is apply for a restraining order at this point.
Mm. That's a good
idea. I'm like,
idea.
You know what? You're coming here during my show. I have a constitutionally protected right to do the work that I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have the right to come in and disrupt this. It's a radio station. You can't do it. You cannot disrupt my work. You cannot. But I live in a city where the cops go to, go to parties and snort cocaine that they steal from evidence lockers. Everybody in the city knows it.
Right.
None of the cops have been charged. Actually, I should say one of the 11 cops was charged, and he's still a cop. Although we heard he was going to resign last week.
Once again, I'm talking to Ron Anisich here from Bad Cop No Donut, which he produces on CKLN in Toronto, Canada. And the police had a nice little visit there to the station. And hopefully you'll find out more information about that in coming days. And what do you got in line for Bad Cop No Donut coming up this week?
This week is going to be a full hour interview with a really, really fabulous journalist named Robert Anglin. He works for the Arizona Republic, and he's responsible for pretty much everything we know about tasers. Every article you've ever read that questions tasers can be traced back to his work. He's a really incredible man, and it was a very, very interesting interview. So if you're people who are interested in tasers are going to learn a lot from this one. And then, I got to tell you, Bob, I'm going to be altering the show just for the next little while. And it's basically so that I can keep myself safe. The show is going to be pretty heavy on interviews for the next little while,
mm-hmm.
just for, until I figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't do this because I want to be arrested or beat up or, you know what I'm saying? I don't do this work because I want bad things to happen to me. I do this work because I feel that it's necessary. all kinds of reasons, but being a martyr ain't one. So,
is there any way folks can support you in your cause?
Good question. You know, I haven't even, in a lot of ways, I haven't really thought about how I'm going to deal with this. I was, you know, my immediate plan was that I was going to just send out a press release to let people know what happened. That usually would have the effect of keeping me safe. Do you know what I mean? The
yeah.
more people that know that this went down, then if the same thing goes down next week or the week after or the week after that,
mm-hmm.
then there's a record of what's happening out there. I think they're less likely to do that in an environment where I'm getting a lot of attention. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And probably a lot of the folks, that, you know, you put it up on radio and the media, Radio for All, those folks out there are interested in the social justice that you're talking about, and what the, you know, what the police are preventing in a lot of situations
mm-hmm.
that you report. So I think there's a lot of folks out there that support. I know, you know, just talking to folks around town here are very concerned about the situation. And
I'm concerned too, and my friends are all pretty freaked out about it. And I just should say on the record that, you know, although I'm really a little. Although I'm disappointed with how the staff at CKLN has dealt with this, I'm happy to tell you that that is not the consensus of the other people I've spoken to at CKLN. Everybody's pretty freaked out. Everybody's been pretty supportive. The core staff officially is willing to accept the police version of events. Now, I've given you all kinds of reasons why it's difficult to believe, and I'm quite happy to let people judge for themselves on that one.
Right.
But, you know, even the staff at CKLN admits that off the record, will admit that it's unlikely. But they just don't want me blowing something out of proportion. And I understand this, that we honestly don't have all the facts about.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern right now is not having all the facts. My concern right now is me being safe. And me being able to do work that is, it's my constitutionally guaranteed right to do. Right now, I'm not feeling that. Right now, I'm feeling pretty unsafe. So what I'm doing is I'm adjusting the production schedule of the program for a little while, just until I figure out what's going on.
Well,
and it's going to mean that it's going to be pretty heavy on interviews and pretty light on the, just for the next couple of weeks, on that whole drill that I do at the beginning of the show where I go
yeah.
through every little thing that's gone on that week. I'm going to just cut that out for a couple of weeks, I think.
Mm.
Also, I've got some interviews that I've been meaning to get to that I'd really like to just get through some of this stuff. I've been putting stuff off because I only have one show a week. It'll effectively allow me to catch up with some really good stories that you're not going to hear about on the news at all. There's a cop right now who's looking in Oklahoma. His name's Taggin, I think, and getting letters from a person who has some knowledge of this officer who's. He's suspected of killing his wife. His wife died in it's his ex-girlfriend. They broke up months ago. She applied for a restraining order against him in March. And last week, she is found in his home dead of a gunshot wound from a gun that he owns. And he apparently tried to make it look like a suicide. He hasn't been arrested yet, but we're hoping he will be. But I have a source that may be able to tell us a lot more about his history as a domestic abuser.
Yeah.
Who's had contact with him in the past, and her point of view is that this guy shouldn't have been a cop this long, and that this was totally predictable. And, you know, I got a lot of little stories like that that I think, you know, stories that we sort of know about, but I have a little more information on now that
mm-hmm.
I might, that, so I'm going to be concentrating the show on some of those types of stories in the next couple weeks.
Well, Ron, I want to thank you for taking the time and talking to us. here on Free Radio.
Thank you for letting me know, letting me let people know that what's been going on up here, because I'm really, and I haven't really talked to anyone about this yet. I imagine I will be in the next couple days.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate you helping me to get the word out.
Sure. That's what we're here for. And
I think I'm safe for now. But just...
there's a lot of people that are there with you and love the show the way it is, just to let you know, I love hearing those stories. I mean, I don't love hearing them. I hate hearing them, but I think the public does need to hear what's going on with police departments around the country and in North America and in Canada as well. And your show is very important to listeners out there. So that's
I fully intend to keep it up.
Definitely.
I just need to to ensure my safety, I want to be I want to be absolutely sure that I'm going to be safe.
Yeah.
If I decide or when, sorry, I go back to doing the show normally.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling about it right now is that I'm kind of in exile a little bit. I don't want to be at the radio station when people think I'm going to be there. Like,
right.
I don't want to follow my usual schedule for a little bit.
Yeah, that's understandable.
It's just all about my biggest priority right now has got to be staying safe. And I am freaked out about this. It might be nothing. It might be just really the police are really stupid.
Right.
I don't have a problem believing that. But I think it's the official police story is extremely difficult to believe. And it's and if you add that with the coincidence that I'm broadcasting one of the strongest shows I've ever put on the air before.
Definitely.
Then I have to ask myself if those two things aren't connected. You know, I told people at CKLN about the show before I put this on. And our feeling was that there was going to be some kind of reaction. We envisioned a complaint to the CRTC. I made very sure that the program was extremely solid regulation-wise before we put it out there. And that we didn't expect anything like this. To me, it's over the top. It's unwarranted. It threatens my ability to do my work, and I'm really, really unhappy about it. I'm a little angry, a little disappointed in the response from CKLN. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now. Thank you for taking the time to let me vent.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. We just finished talking to Ron Anisich of Bad Cop, No Donut.
Hi, police! Bad Cop, No Donut! Bad.
I'm Ron Anisich, host of Bad Cop, No Donut, your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, which you can hear at 1 p.m. Thursdays after Democracy Now, right here on 101 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Don't you know it's past the curfew this time? I guess you're fucked. Cops, night out. Remain calm. 50,000 volts of electricity are now passing into your skeletal muscle tissue. Your central nervous system has been incapacitated, but you will regain motor functions momentarily.
Oh.